Hello, and welcome to our third annual Telesummit on the Right ADHD Trail. Unfortunately, I had to take last year off due to family losses, but we're back today with 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field. They will share their knowledge and experience with us to help you climb the pinnacle of success. We are going to fill your backpacks with some of the tools and tips that men with ADHD are challenged with on a daily basis. You know, you will get tips on how to harness your off time, ADHD self-regulation, and digital addiction awareness, finding spiritual connection despite distractions, finding distractions, your money, mindset, and strategy, sex and ADHD, and I really love this, how to make small talk, and much more. But first, let me introduce myself. I am Kathy Gett, owner of Gett Focus Private Coaching Service. I am a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. Now, you can find out more about my private practice at getfocus.com. That's spelled G-O-E-T-T, focused. Working with my male clients, I realized that there was so much information and many excellent telesummits that were really geared to women, but nothing for the men. So here we are, climbing the trail for the third annual Telesummit for men and their loved ones. But before we go any further, I'd like to thank my friend and mentor, Lori Dupar. Lori is the founder and director of International ADHD Coach Training Center, IAC Center. Thank you, IAC Center, for sponsoring our Telesummit. To find out more, go to coachingforadhd.com. Now, I realize how busy your lives are, and you just may not have the time to sit down for many hours to listen to this Telesummit packed full of information. Well, I have the solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you get extended digital access to all the recordings on the Telesummit, a transcript of our audio conversation, and, special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking. Let's get started and meet our next presenter, Carolyn McGuire. Carolyn McGuire, Master of Education, Professional Certified Coach, is an author, speaker, frequent media contributor, and founder of a social emotional learning methodology. She holds a Master's in Education degree with a concentration in social emotional learning training. Since 2004, her primary focus has been to help people of all ages make friends and thrive. She is the author of Why Will No One Play With Me? Excellent book. The winner of the Best Parenting and Family Book 2020, as awarded by American Book Fest, and co-collaborator on newly released HowToSell.com, a daily social emotional learning platform anyone can incorporate into daily life. You can follow her at author Caroline M. Caroline is going to give her presentation on the art of making small talk, especially for us who dread it. Caroline's presentation is, some people easily navigate any social event while others consider small talk to be dreadful. In this presentation, Carolyn will offer advice on how to move from hello to a full-fledged conversation. You'll learn what steps to take before, during, and after a social event. This advice is suitable for one-on-one and group conversations. Small talk is an invaluable life skill that everyone needs to master. Thank you, Carolyn, for joining us today. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Kathy, for having me. And this is one of my new favorite topics. So I love that we were able to bring this forth. And I think I work with a lot of men, and I think that this is something that is under-discussed and under-explored. So I'm excited.
I think so, too. I really was real happy when you said you wanted to do this. Well, let's just start up. Why do we dread making small talk, Carolyn?
So I think there's a few different reasons, and I fully want to say that I am as imperfect as you can be. I continue to work on this myself. So I don't want anyone to think that I don't understand. I think one of the reasons is the ghosts of the past. We haven't done well with it, so we decide, like, I'm just not good at that. I know that a lot of people bring up to me what I always felt, which is it's kind of boring to talk about superficial topics. The other thing is we really, as ADDers and as I think people who seek interest and stimulation, we want to go deeper to a deeper level of intimacy. And we want to talk about the things we want to talk about. And a lot of chit-chat is about following the other person's lead and talking about things and keeping it very light and breezy. And for us, that actually takes a lot of work because it means that we're possibly less interested, which means I have to focus and I have to remember to keep it light and breezy and really think about my audience a lot. And that's work for us.
It is, right. It really is. Well, okay, so that's why we dread it. But why do we need to have small talk? Can't we just, you know, just talk?
You know, it's funny. I've been working on this a lot for I have a new website launching, and I've been producing a lot of things for the adults that are going to come out this fall. And I have done a lot of exploration with adults on, you know, what it does, and here's what it does. Here's my sales pitch for why to work on this and why we need this.
Okay.
Small talk actually has a purpose, and the purpose is to feel each other out, to find out about people, right? So, oh my gosh, I didn't know you go there, right? Like, I go there too. To build that trust and intimacy and knowledge of each other slowly over time. So it's like I call it light touches, right? It's like a light way of getting to know someone and actually exploring who they are. C.S. Lewis has a great quote where he says, friendship is when we suddenly look at each other and say, you too, I feel that way too. And so small talk, although we resist it, has that actual purpose of allowing you to get to know someone a little bit in a brief, light way. And it's like part of manners. It makes people comfortable, and it makes people uncomfortable when we dive right in. So I think, you know, we as people with executive function and ADHD challenges often have this like self-regulation hangover where we feel really bad about things we do. And so my sales pitch for small talk is if we try to work on this and we try to remember why we're doing it and feel good about it, then we have less of those self-reg hangovers where we're like, oh my God, I can't believe I said that or did that. And we make the impression we want, which in the workplace is key.
Right. Absolutely. Very, very true. It is very key. Well, okay. So we know we need it. We know we dread it. Well, how can we practice small talk? Can someone practice making small talk? Do we talk to ourselves? What can we do?
No, absolutely. So one of the things I always say is to set your intention. You know, you can't work on everything at once. If you sat down and you said, wow, here's the things I think that hold me back from connecting with people and having better relationships or better impressions at work, you would, you know, have so many things to work on possibly, and it would become very overwhelming, which is what I hear from adults a lot. What I say to people is set an intention that like this next 6 months, I'm going to work on small talk. And then whenever you enter that situation, you're kind of now you're on, right? Like now instead of, you know, sort of bumbling into it, you're like, I'm on. And you don't have to practice alone. You know, as long as you're out there in the world getting a coffee, you know, going checking into the doctor's office, you have opportunities to make small talk. And you also could join different things with people with like mindsets or, you know, where you share experience or interests, volunteer for an organization and have it be about, I want to practice these kinds of connections so that you have a forum to practice.
Okay. Okay. I get that. I never really thought about it that much, but yeah, so that's a good way to practice that. Okay. So, but approaching a group, you know, can be really intimidating. What advice do you have for someone who's nervous? You know, you've walked in the room, you're like, okay, I need to go into it. And a lot of us were just like, I just don't think I can do this. But what are some of your suggestions for someone who's very nervous to make that first step?
So a few things. One, a lot of my clients, we come up with a pregame. So if they know they have a work event or they want to join something, you know, I'm going to join the local theater and I'm going to become an usher, but that means I have to go to this big opening thing and I'm nervous about it. Have a pregame, something that makes you feel good, fills you with dopamine, makes you a little more attentive, makes you feel all the sort of I'm okay feelings, because we don't want that rejection sensitivity, the anxiety to build. The other thing is, the more you do this and say, like, I'm going to try this a bunch of times, it's not like this one event is the end-all be-all, which helps with anxiety. And that's why I want people to put themselves in the way of actually doing this stuff more, so that no one conversation matters, right? We're looking at the bigger scheme. The other thing is that when we enter a room, right, I actually am about to have videos about this, about how to physically join a group, but we want to think about who is there, right? Who do I know? Okay. And approach the person. Now, if it's a big thing, like, you know, the first night of something or a work event, and you don't know anyone, if it's actually a social cocktail party type thing, it means that the other folks in the room are expecting to meet and greet and chat with random people. It's incredibly daunting, so I don't want to undermine that, but it is something that the other people are expecting to do. So you're not alone in your feelings. They probably feel that way too. The other thing I want to say is make eye contact.
Oh, okay. And that's hard sometimes for us. Especially with
that
ADHD.
Is hard for us. But the more you walk into a place or a situation and you smile and you make eye contact, the more you're engaged with people, connecting with them. And also, you won't feel as nervous as time goes on, because it's something you're doing, and you get to be a practice.
Oh, okay. So reading the room is, can you do it in a large group, or are you saying this would have to be more in a smaller group?
I'm saying any place you go.
Any place you can do that, okay.
Yeah, and here's the other tip that I have. If you're socially anxious, if you have, you know, a history where these things have been daunting, that's why I'm suggesting, you know, to join a group with shared interests as a practice place, because then you have the opportunity to be with people who share your interests. And the greatest idea I have is to have a job, right? So if you are, you know, volunteering, well, then it's your job to go around the hospital and collect information, or to, you know, be counting in the ushers, or to count the money at church and talk to other folks. And so that actually is a practice zone for you, but it really helps, because now you have a job you have to do, which means you have an excuse.
Okay, I like that. Okay, so you're saying get in the group and not just be part of the group, get a job within the group, because that way you're sort of being forced, right, that you have to go around and meet these different people. You might have to ask them these different questions, or or hand out a paper to them or something where you smile and you're making an eye contact. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And then, Kathy, think about it this way. You're no longer, Joe, who is at a place where no one knows them and they have to exert themselves. You have an excuse. You have a job, right? You're handing out those papers. You're checking people in. And I've learned this, by the way, from people who are inattentive, introverted, struggle with anxiety. They've taught me things that they develop that work for them, and then I've brought them across the wider scale. Having an excuse, it gives you something to do, right? You're not just idle.
Right.
I know that can't happen in every situation, but we need a practice zone if we're going to practice small talk and we're going to practice these interactions. And so I'm just suggesting it, especially for the anxious, as something you can do. And it feels daunting, but honestly, having a job helps.
I really like that. I never, really thought about that much, but that's a great idea if you can do it. And sometimes just maybe you see something that needs to be picked up or something like that, and you can do that and meet the people that are working on setting up things and things like that. So, yeah, I like that for sure. Do you have any more tips for us on making small talk?
Absolutely. So I mentioned make eye contact. Definitely greet people. Ask a question or comment. People love to talk about themselves.
So.
I even, in Why Will No One Play With Me, I have lists of things you can ask people. But, just have a few in your pocket. How are you doing? I last saw you at X. What do you think of this? Anything like that. If you're involved in something at work, what do you think? I saw you last week. They've put you to the grist too. Anything like that. And then the whole point of small talk is that we're building on a topic, we're listening, and we're making comments back and forth on a topic. So you're adding your thoughts to what they say, and you're sort of bouncing off each other, like ping pong.
Okay. Like ping pong. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Well, I'm going to throw a question at you. Do you think we are losing our social skills because of the lack of communication we're having because of cell phones and, all this different stuff where people are really not getting out there meeting people? What have you found?
I think we've had a few reasons we're losing our social skills. One is cell phones and just the way that the nature of the world is, where we're very spread out, right? We're not living in neighborhoods
right.
the way our grandparents did. And then the other thing is that the COVID-19 pandemic has been something that has made us all rusty, I think. We have rusty social skills. And we've been very disconnected, and I think the point of human beings is to be connected. And I also think that this is probably something that has been hard for certain people, right? We used to call them wallflowers for a long time. So I don't think us struggling with this is unique to modern society. I think we've got more barriers now, but I think part of it has – I think if you talk to some grandparents, they would say, oh, I hated small talk. I'm not good at it.
Okay.
Well, 100 years ago.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on, what's going on right now and everything. Well, Carol, we're getting close to the end. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to pass on to us or tell us about your book or anything?
Well, sure, I'd love to. So my current book is called Why Will No One Play With Me? It's written for parents to teach their children social skills, but a lot of adults are using it. On my website, CarolineMaguireAuthor.com, there are materials for people of all ages. Additionally, I have a new website coming out by fall, and it is going to have the same address, CarolineMaguireAuthor.com, but it's going to have tons and tons and tons of materials for adults. And a lot of what I am doing right now is around this building this conversation and how do we, you know, move our relationships forward. And I love to sort of unpack it and make it very how-to because I think that's what we need. So that's what I'm all about.
Oh, that's great. That sounds really good. Well, Carolyn, you have a free gift for our listening audience. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes. So I have a video about managing anxiety as you're going through, you know, anything but social exploration, certainly. I think that the topic that I could speak about for an entire day that's sort of the elephant in the room is what if I'm feeling social rejection? What if I'm feeling anxious? What if my past history doesn't make me feel super confident about this? And so this is just a video walking you through some strategies you can use because most people that I work with struggle with that piece. And I definitely want people to feel that, you know, there are answers as to how to manage that as you're exploring greater connections and greater conversations.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good. I'm so glad that you're giving this to our audience. So, Carolyn, the way that they can contact you if they need to is, what is your website?
CarolineMaguireAuthor.com. And it's if you just even Google While Known Play With Me, you will get everything about me. It's the website has all my social media, email address, everything.
Yes, you can listen to her on podcast. She just has an awful lot to offer to us folks and everything. Well, Carolyn, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was a great learning, shall we say, how to make small talk. And I know that there's so many of us that experience this when you walk into a room, what do I do? But learning how to read the room, as you were saying, and then trying to get the one-on-one conversation. And I know we've always been said, ask the person something about themselves is a great way to ask questions, and then you build on that topic. So thank you very much for being here, Carolyn.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, we've come to the end, everyone. And stay tuned for our next presenter. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Thank you.